This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your brother Bona Muhammad with another episode of Hangout, where we are hanging out. And I have a very special guest with us here today, Sheikh Saeed Rage, who is about to lose in a game of 21. Oh, woo! You see that? You see that, Sheikh? Let's go, let's go, let's go. Sheikh, you know I got the good stuff, man. Let's go. Woo! You see that? I've been working out. Bismillah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh, I don't know if you want to retire now or what. Five. Let's go. Let's go. Six. Bismillah. Let's go. Ah. I got arrogant. You see that?
I have a broken finger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good one. Good excuse. Salam Sheikh.
Alaykum
salam. How you doing?
Lucky shot.
Oh, yeah. We actually, really great that, you know, it's really great to have you here on this episode. We have an episode that we want to talk about some of the issues that are affecting so many of our young people. You know, alhamdulillah, you do a lot of work with young people, with you specifically. And I know that especially with all the, you know, crazy news and world events that are happening, Muslim youth specifically are under the microscope. There's a lot of questions people have about Muslim youth and Muslim youth culture and what drives Muslim youth in these directions or that directions. Can you tell me, for instance, some of the issues that you find, you know, dealing with families and counseling? What are some of the common themes and issues that you deal with on a day-to-day coming into your office?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihi al-kareem, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakallah khair for having me on the show.
I'll let you take one shot afterwards, so don't have to worry.
Inshallah. Muslim youth, like any other youth, they are affected by their environment. They are the product of their environment. So whatever environment that they're living in, that is how they're going to respond and how that's what would impact them. Majority of the issues that we have with youth in general and Muslim youth specifically is the issue of radicalism, for example. There are a lot of young people who are a little bit confused, a little bit concerned about the current affairs that is happening with the Muslim world and the Muslim youth in general. And they don't really know how to react and how to act because of a lot of things that's happening, and they don't know what to make out of it. They're seeking social justice. They're seeking a way out. They're seeking justification of what is happening in the world. However, they always find themselves, you know, being a corner as a, simply because he's a Muslim. So now his guilt is automatically guilty. When he goes out with his, you know, Islamic dress or Islamic outfit, people are looking at him. Oh, is he going to blow up himself now? What is he going to do next? Is he gonna, you know, when he puts his hand in his pocket, what is he gonna take out of that pocket? Mm. So Muslim youth, they don't feel they're at home. And this is one of the biggest problems that a lot of youth face. They say, okay, when we go, like I have some people who came and their name are Muslim names. Like, for example, Bona Muhammad, right?
What is that like about me?
Right? So, he may say, can I change Muhammad? Can I use, you know, Bona Mo or something like that? Because I'm afraid that if they see my name as being Muslim, they may automatically reject my, application and so on. And they also confused and frustrated with a lot of things that is happening. If you come back to the current situation of what happened in France in comparison to what happened in Pakistan, so we have 132 children. The children. We don't know whether Muslim children, you know, Christian children, and we don't care, but we assume that they're all Muslim children. But none of the Western government condemned that. None of them come together and say, let us see what happened. Let us visit the site. Let us go and see. We have 132 innocent children who did not commit any mistakes, did not do anyone wrong, yet they were killed by a wrongdoer. So let us stand, you know, against that and let us fight for that. They never saw that. But they saw a few people killed in France, and the whole world came together. So now they're asking themselves, wait a second. Is it, fight against wrongdoings or, terrorism, or fight against Islam and Muslims? So when Muslims are killed, nobody cares about it. Well, when the Muslims is killed, wait a second. You know, the whole world is against Muslims. So there are a lot of frustration that they're facing, and I think as a community we should be able to deal with, as a society we should be able to deal with, and so on. And this is for you.
All right. I see you got your game back. I know that, for instance, a lot of young people are very frustrated with, current situations. They look on the TV, they go on social media, they see Muslim bodies being desecrated, seeing, Muslim families being killed and tortured, what happened in Palestine over the summertime, and they don't know what to do. We understand, acts of violence and aggression and things that are extreme are not Islamic, and they don't have a basis within Islam. But what can we do? I mean, is it enough for just... tell our Muslim youth to stay at home and, just enjoy your Western luxuries and don't worry about the people overseas? What are some of the steps that we can take to actually help Muslims that are suffering, unjustly across the world?
Number one, majority of these practicing Muslims in the West, they can't do that. They just can't sit home and enjoy themselves because they think or they assume they will be next target. They assume that, hey, I didn't do anything. I'm doing well in my school. I'm between the masjid, in school, home. I don't do anything wrong. I just play ball here and there. But he's in that circle that any day he can be picked on and say, wait a second, you have a beard, you're wearing a thobe, you go to the masjid, you're guilty. So he can really enjoy that. And sometimes that frustrates them and say, okay, let me do something about it, mentally. But what can we do for the people over there? I think we cannot do anything over there, but we can do something here. What we can do, we can speak out. We can come together. We can unite. We can address the authorities. We can say, wait a second. This has been done not because of justice, but it has been done because, again, this is a phobia against Islam. So we need to work on that. Let me see if you can take a shot.
I think I haven't played in a while. So if I get this, if I don't get this in, you'll know why. Still got it. Still got it. I know that, for instance, I myself, run into young people all the time who will tell me, brother, we shouldn't even be living in these countries. This place is, it's the land of disbelievers, and they're supporting the terrorism of our people back home. And I know for a lot of young people, they kind of get caught up in that, us versus them. And they're on that side, and we're on this side. And a lot of young people specifically don't feel like they can be Muslim and be Canadian, or be Muslim and be British, or be Muslim and be American. Can these two things exist together? Is it possible for someone to be of a Western, passport and still carry the flag of Islam in their hearts?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no contradiction here. Islam is not confined to a certain land or to a certain region or to a certain group of people. Islam is international. You can be French and Muslim. You can be, Danish or Muslim. You can be American and Muslim. You can be Canadian and Muslim at the same time. I don't find too many of those people coming to me. I find a lot of people, they're saying, okay, what can I do to be accepted? Because in reality, this is the core problem that a lot of people don't understand. These young people don't feel that they're accepted. They feel that they've been pushed to a certain corner. They feel that no matter what I do, no matter, how good I behave, I'm still guilty at the end of the day. Just because I'm a Muslim, nobody will say, hey, born in Muhammad, born and raised in Canada, so he's a Canadian. No, they will say he's a Muslim. So they feel that, wait a second, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm being a decent Canadian citizen. I do my part. I try to protect my country. I feel about, I feel concerned about the well-being of the whole society, like any other Canadian. But why am I being picked on? Just because I'm a Muslim? Why at the airport, that computer will always pick on me and say, hey.
Random,
you know. I call it love connection. You know, they always have the love connection. As soon as you come, the computer falls in love with you and say, I want you.
And they take you to the VIP line.
Yes. And they say, sir, you're randomly being picked. You know. So, not because of your citizenship, it's because of your faith. And what we're trying to tell everyone, listen, we're trying to be Muslim Canadian. Like we have Christian Canadian, Jew Canadian, Hindu Canadian. They all accept it. Why can't you accept us? And then this is what frustrates the youth. You know, when that happens to you once and twice, and then that happens to your cousin, that happens to your father, that happens to your sister. You know, wait a second. And it's not only me, it's everyone in my faith. So what I'm trying to say is, if these people want to fix the problem, they should learn how to treat the Muslim youth like any other youth who's trying to help and serve their country. And instead, you know, saying they're guilty, maybe we should say, yeah, you know, you're doing well. Let us see what else can you do for us. One more time.
Let's see what you got
here.
No excuses now. I know that, for instance, when we look at social media and we look at, you know, the power that Facebook and Twitter and these things have, it's really the focus point for a lot of these groups. You know, they're recruiting people online. A lot of young Muslims are being, you know, kind of swept up with the amount of videos and things that they're seeing. What can we do as a community? I know that, you know, maybe the people in the media will come out and say, you know, Muslims need to condemn the attacks and they need to do more. And that's fine. We understand that, you know, these are Muslims and we don't agree with what they're saying. But to what extent can we, especially as leaders or as, you know, community members, as activists, to what extent can we use our capabilities to help prevent this type of activity, this type of behavior? Like, what are we supposed to do? If I come across someone who I think might have some sort of crazy beliefs or ideologies, is my responsibility then to go and, you know, beat him up? Or am I supposed to tell the FBI? Or am I supposed to, like, I don't know. What should I do at that point?
Okay. See, if you explain the true Islam to these young people, simply don't, you know, spice it up, don't tell them anything else, just educate them about their faith, about Islam, then they will do what is right. The problem is when we as imams and speakers and, you know, the da'is, you know, people inviting people to Islam or educating people about Islam, when we keep telling these young people, listen, this is the true Islam, you know, this is how you should be. And this young man says, okay, you know, hands down, this, I accept this. I want to be a decent, you know, citizen. I want to be a practicing Muslim. I want to do what I need to do. But he go, you know, the next thing that happens is, you know, from the other side, he's been attacked. So my words, you know, against the action of the system, against the, you know, the mass media, you know, CNN, Fox News, yeah, all this, you know, and then the action of these people of authority, then that's against my words. So my words means nothing, because I keep telling this young man, be a good Muslim, be practicing Muslim, you know, fear God, you know, be a good citizen. But these people are not treating him like a citizen. So there's a conflict right here. But what we do when they come to us, we tell them this is the right thing. And if we see that the person, you know, are not following this, 100% of the people that we met who had some confusion and some concern, as soon as we explain what Islam said about these cases, they just say, you know, this is Islam, we accept. But how should we deal with these people? How can I convince this guy that I'm not a terrorist? I'm not this, you know, I'm not here to kill them. I'm not here to destroy them. You know, why do they take, you know, only small group of people's action and paint that over every Muslim that they see? We have 2.2 or 2.3 billion Muslims. Are they all terrorists? Are they all bad? No, but how come on the flip side, how come the people in Central Africa, how come the Christians are not terrorists? How come, you know, all these people doing crazy things, they're not terrorists? How come, like, right here, this guy, he killed two police officers, or he killed, like, three, you know, RCMP guys, you know, how come he's not labeled terrorist? You know, simply because he wasn't Muslim. If that guy had you know, once upon a time, once in his life, he ever stepped into a mosque, then they will say, oh, he was a Muslim and he's a terrorist. You know, but now, since he never went to a mosque, he never sat with Muslims, he never read a Quran, he's not a terrorist, he's just a crazy guy. So there's no justice here. This, I cannot explain that. I cannot say to these young people who are frustrated or confused, you know, well, this is, he's not terrorist, but one person who did a mistake, that he's not only him, but everyone on the, you know, on that faith is a terrorist. That's a confusion.
Well, hopefully, inshallah, I think I'm going to get the shot in next
I feel
good right now. I feel like I got something in me.
Bismillah.
You see that shit? Oh, no, no.
I see it.
Somebody fell. I think somebody snuck up behind me. I don't know what happened.
That was a jinn.
Is it a jinn? Okay. That's the next episode. But I think that, you know, from the most part, I think a lot of people who interact with Muslims, you know, our neighbors, our, you know, co-workers, our, you know, co-students, colleagues, they see that Muslims are decent people. They see that we're a community, just like any other group. You know, there are perhaps some people that don't represent the vast majority of us, but they see that we're just like regular people. But some people actually are convinced that within Islam, within the actual teachings, you know, within the Quran, within the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that there are, you know, things which alert to the fact that we are just like, you know, waiting to explode. Like, you know, there are teachings that are being taught within Islam, people believe, that really justify these types of behaviors and attacks on innocent people. Can you comment on that? I mean, is there a way for someone to find these texts or these particular passages and use that as a justification for acts of aggression or radicalism against, you know, the regular people living in these countries?
Majority of the people who are living in this country, they do hold that belief that, hey, I have a Muslim co-worker, he's a decent guy. I have a Muslim classmate, she's a wonderful young lady. I have a Muslim neighbor, you know, they're very generous, very kind, very welcoming. It's only a group of people with agendas, I believe, that, you know, in magnifying little mistakes or little incidents here and there, and they say, well, oh, this is Islam. But if you interview regular Muslims in the country, they will all tell you, they're nice people. Now, when it comes to teaching of Islam, you know, none of the things that you mentioned is in the teachings of Islam. Islam teaches us that, you know, we have to be civilized, we have to be peaceful, we have to be decent people living with the rest of the people in peace. Islam is the only religion that when it rules a land that allows the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims of different faith, all of them to live in peace. It is the only religion. Read the history of Palestine. Read when the Christians, the Crusades, when they took over Palestine, what happened to the Jews and the Muslims. Read about when the Jew took over Palestine, what happens to the Muslims. And read about what happens to the Christians, the Jews, when Muslims took over. Read what Salah ad-Din did with the Christians and the Jews who were living there. He was paying them. If they want to live, you can live and, you know, run your business, run your farm, do whatever you want to leave this country that we took over. You don't have enough money to travel. There you go. Take, you know, whatever you need and leave to whatever you want. So in Islam, we don't have that. Islam allows us to live together. However, like any other religion, any other faith, any other group of people, if you are attacked, Islam allows you to defend yourself. Islam allows you to stand for the what you believe is right, without, you know, transgressing, without oppressing anyone, without doing killing innocent people. It's not part of Islam. And if you don't believe that, read the seer of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why after September 11, you know, we were in Washington, Maryland, in Virginia, D.C., all that area, and over 30,000 people accepted Islam within 2 months. And these people who accepted Islam, they were not, you know, these people were, you know, sniffing drugs or, you know, on drugs. No, they were educated class. They were people who said, wait a second, let me read about this religion that is so violent, that is allowing innocent people to be killed. And they went to the library and they picked the Quran and they read the Quran and they were shocked. That what the media is saying is one thing, and what Islam is completely different. And all of them said, you know, this is what I was looking for, this is the right religion, and they became a Muslim. If Islam was calling to violence and explosive and all this, why would all these people accept Islam? Why? You know? Yeah. I have no jinn or fire on me, but, you know.
Let's see what you
there
got.
There you go.
That's so far, I don't even want to get it. Last question for you, Sheikh, and then we'll wrap up. with all the pressure that's happening right now, and a lot of Muslims feeling, you know, like, man, you know, maybe just like after 9/11, people want to take off the hijab, brothers start wanting to shave, people want to just, you know, change their names and all these types of things. What advice can you give to the Muslims in terms of, you know, how to deal with the world around us in these troubling times? What can we do to make sure that we don't, you know, completely neglect our Islamic identity, but at the same time, we're not completely always having to apologize for the actions of others?
Number one, Islam is your dignity. Islam is who you are. The moment that you hold on to this principle, the moment that you say, you know, this is what Islam is teaching me this, this is when the izzah, the honor will walk into your heart. This is will penetrate your heart. And as a Muslim, regardless of what other people are doing, regardless whether they're doing the wrong things or the okay things, you as a Muslim, you should stand on your ground and you say, you know, Allah said in the Quran, inna al-izzah, for Allah, for his prophet, and for the believers. So this is what you should worry about. And, you know, don't shave your beard. Don't, you know, add a little more color to your hijab. Don't wear tight clothes because you're afraid that the people will, you know, point fingers at you. But no, dress modestly. And I believe, I'm not talking about the media, I'm not talking about these people with, you know, hidden agenda. I believe when the simple, normal, open-minded Canadian sees that, or, you know, American, whatever, they would only respect you. They would have no choice but to respect you and say, you know, they're following their faith. They're not doing anything wrong. They, you know, go to the mall like we do. They shop like we do. They play ball like we do. You know, this is their lifestyle. You know, you have people with turbans. You have people, you know, wearing, you know, other things. Why cannot we wear what we want to wear based on our faith? Mm.
You know, I always thought, I mean, it's just a last final thought, that perhaps there's some hikmah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's allowing certain things like this to occur as an opportunity for us Muslims. He's testing, you know, not just us, but the society around us. Now, we have the opportunity to teach people about Islam. You know, Islam is in the household of every single person, you know.
Right.
They turn on the TV, they hear about Islam, they hear about Muslims. Do you think maybe this is a good opportunity for us to also take advantage of that, you know, unfortunate reality, but also use it as an opportunity for da'wah?
It's funny that you presented, you put it that way. Sometimes I feel because we're not doing the da'wah, we're not inviting people to Islam. We don't have to convert anyone, but we have to present Islam to them. And since we're not doing this as Muslims, and each one of us is just, you know, wants to keep Islam to themselves, a lot of times I say, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting Islam on every TV screen, and, you know, presented to everyone because we're not doing our job. So Allah is saying Islam will be spread regardless of what you do. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam will enter every house through the wicked and through the righteous. So sometimes a wicked person who wants to, you know, put a dent on Islam and the faith of Islam, may say something negative about Islam on TV, and the next thing is someone accepted Islam because of that comment. And I have, you know, there was one of the I was in Maryland, and one of the Islamic centers, they had website, and this guy, he came and he hacked the website. But he did not just hack the website, he put, you know, crazy pictures, you know, not halal pictures, you know. I guarantee you there was no hijab or niqab on those pictures, you know. And then this guy, he calls and he accepted Islam, and I said, how do you accept Islam? He said, you know, I went to this website and he had all this. What kind of religion is this, you know?
I'm signing up for that one, huh?
He's like, you know, let me click. And he read about Islam and he's like, wait a second, you know. And that's how he accepted Islam. You know, through someone who's trying to destroy the image of Islam, you know, posting it, you know, un-Islamic pictures. Through that, someone accepted Islam. So, as a Muslim, we should say, alhamdulillah, perhaps Allah is doing the work. And, excuse me, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something called tamhiz. Tamhiz means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying. You know, if you're a gold digger, you know, when you bring a piece of rock that is, you know, mixed with sand, rocks, you know, metals, gold, and you really put it under the heat, that rock, and then you come up with beautiful piece of gold, and the rest is just so useless. Mm-hmm. So maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for that small group of people who will carry the message of Islam, like the Prophet and the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
InshaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast and allow us to spread this beautiful religion. JazakAllah khair for everybody tuning in. Stay tuned for next episode of Hangout, where we have other great interesting guests and we talk about really cool interesting topics. InshaAllah, we'll see you all soon. JazakAllah khair for watching. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي